Hello, this is Bronson Fry with the Alaska Associated General Contractors Build Alaska podcast. Honored to be joined today by Chris Riley with Rainproof Roofing and also the current president of the Alaska AGC. How are you doing today, Chris?
Oh, pretty good, Bronson. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for making the time to chat with us today. I'd like to get people's perspective on the construction industry, lots of different backgrounds and trades. Rainproof Roofing, obviously a roofing company. Like to just ask you a little about yourself and how you got into it and how you got involved with Rainproof, the company, and also the roofing industry.
Fire away.
So what's your where are you from? Are you from here in Anchorage originally?
I'm from Anchorage originally, born and raised. Went to Rogers Park, and then Windler, and then East High.
Right on.
And graduated in 93.
93, all right. What about Rainproof Roofing? When did it start?
My grandpa, Mark Lee, started it in 1962, and then my mom and dad bought it in the late 70s, early 80s, and they owned it for a long, long time, and they sold it to UIC in 2003, and my dad retired his first time around in 2006.
All right.
He had a hiatus, and then back in 2010, him and three other partners bought it back.
Nice.
And I went to work for Rainproof again back in 2012. And we sit here today with four of us minority owners in the process of buying out my dad again for a second ride off into the sunset.
He'll take a second crack at retirement.
Yeah, we're pretty sure he'll succeed this time.
Well, it's kind of neat. So you're basically third generation involved in running this company here in Anchorage or in Alaska.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive. That's really impressive, actually. It doesn't happen too often, so that's pretty cool. Now, was your journey to be working in the roofing industry something you feel like you're always destined to do, or is this what you had always planned, or how did you end up actually getting into the construction industry?
Well, I started working in the yard when I was 14, and I don't know if I can legally say that or not, but helping out around the yard at 14, and did that for a couple summers. Helped keep me out of trouble, and Then, as I got a little older, I worked elsewhere, but ended up coming back there when I was 18 and worked the summers there after between high school and then college. And when I left for college, I was like, see you later, not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 2 years down there and conversation with my dad one summer, I decided to come back and kind of go to work for the family business.
Nice.
And finished college, basically with a wife in tow and a baby on the way, and came back home and went to work.
Nice. Now, when you got back to Alaska and started getting back into the business, did you go right into the office, or did you go out into the field and work first?
No. I with a new baby on the way, I went back out in the field because that's kind of where the money is.
Okay.
And my dad managed to send me on every out-of-town job he could find.
Welcome back. And now here you go, off to the bush in Alaska.
Never a complaint. So, I worked on the field for several years. And then in 2000, when Rainproof built the office we're sitting in now, I moved into the office and then started working my way up through the project management side of what Rainproof does.
Gotcha.
So
it's probably helpful having the background, like working in the field anyway.
I think it's important. I mean, you know, construction's a people business, and it's tough to relate to people if you haven't done it before. It's easy. I mean, it can be done. I see people do it all the time, but it's easier if you've already had the experience and had the bad days and the good days and the really bad days out in the field mm-hmm. to relate to people, you know, when you're trying to tell them what to do.
Yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, as far as the affiliation with AGC goes, has Rainproof been affiliated for a long time, or is that something you did under your tenure, or is that been around for a long time, that relationship?
Well, I should probably know the date, but I don't know the date Rainproof joined. I just know that we've always been a part of it as long as I can remember.
There you go. So it's been many years.
Yeah.
That Rainproof. Yeah. Now, your father, he was involved with the AGC as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was heavily involved, and in 1999, he was the AGC president.
In 1999, your father was AGC president, and then in 2019, so 20 years later, you were elected as the AGC president.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting and a little not intimidating, a little daunting. I mean, it's just kind of like, wow, legacy is a thing.
Sure, that's awesome.
Cool. It was a pretty proud moment for me, and it's been a really good opportunity for me. And it's big shoes, but not just his, but everybody in the past. You know, all the past presidents. I mean, they've been successes and mentors, and they're all people that you can look to and say these are good men and women, you know.
Yeah. So. No, I'm sure your family is proud of you too, following in those footsteps. That is pretty cool. Now, as far as running a roofing company goes, what are some of the more interesting projects you've worked on around the state?
We've always been kind of a statewide company. We've done all kinds of different things.
Any particular places in the state that you found interesting to work in?
Lake Clark's exciting. Pretty picturesque, kind of.
Yeah.
You definitely find out there's some beautiful country and there's some rough country in Alaska. It can be harsh, you know, up in Point Hope. Our crews work up Kuparuk area. I've been out to Point Hope. I've been on every ocean and sea that touches Alaska.
Wow.
Which is kind of exciting. I've been from one end to the other. I've been as far south as you can be in Alaska, and I've been as far north.
Nice.
And as far west. Of recent memory, we got an award for a project we had on Shimmy with Bryce Environmental, and that was a pretty fun project. We replaced a roof on a hangar that had blown off in one of the monsoons that ran through there. And
wow.
Shimmy is an interesting place to work, and it's kind of exciting. And the job was really challenging due to weather, logistics, the whole nine yards. We had a good partner out there, working for a good partner out there. And it was just it was a really exciting job, and it was a challenging job. And it all, it's just one of those, everything kind of came together and it worked out, you know.
That's awesome.
But it was a fun job. And we've done some cool things, like not very big, but a little tiny bunker out at Terror Lake in Kodiak at the dam. And, you look at that, it's you're talking about you're doing a roof on a bunker that's, half the size of this room. But the logistics to get two guys out there and all the material. I mean, you fly into Kodiak and then you fly a little charter jet over to the base, and then then you're driving a truck up for an hour up to the top of the deal, and you get up there and you're there for an hour and then you turn around and come back.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it's Alaska is a place of nothing but logistics. I mean, that's the biggest challenge we have other than workforce, but logistics is always a challenge, and that's always something I've enjoyed doing with what I've done at the company and just in general. I like the challenging jobs that.
That's cool. That makes a lot of sense that would be such a big part of the running a business here in this state. Now, you find yourself working out in the elements a lot as a roofer, working in the field, or do you need to have certain nice weather to do that, or does it depend on the product you're using?
I mean, our products are weather dependent, and you can't really tear somebody's roof open while it's raining. So we are weather dependent to a point, but technology has come a long way. I mean, we've worked in 10 below, but with tent and heat and all, making our own environment. And, the rain's tough. I mean, I've tented and heated in the rain. Anytime you do work on Southeast, you got to plan on doing that, but that's always a challenge.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine so.
So, our guys work in all kinds of miserable weather. So I commend them for showing up to work and doing that.
I wouldn't imagine you're indoors a lot working on roofs.
No.
But I just wasn't sure if it's something you can do in every weather or not. So that's kind of interesting. The AGC affiliation is something I wanted to circle back around to, because your company's been with AGC so many years. I was going to ask you if there were any particular benefits that you've noticed from an employer's perspective being affiliated with the AGC that you might want to share with the folks listening to the podcast.
Well, from the benefits, you know, as a contractor or a subcontractor or an affiliate, you know, you get the benefits that the website states. Those are the basics. I think you're underutilizing your membership if that's all you do. There's a lot of, I guess in being involved with AGC, I've discovered there's a lot of benefits and personal growth that happens when you work with outside of business with other individuals in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that you know a lot of your problems, you're not alone in them. Yeah. Everybody has them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're general contractors, subcontractors, you know, you paint, you roof, you hang steel, you know, mm-hmm. you all have very similar issues and problems on a day-to-day basis that you can come together and find common solutions on, or at least find something that, okay, one, you're not alone, and two, here's a sounding board that they're perfectly willing to share that information with. I mean, people in this industry are very generous with their knowledge, more so than a lot of other industries.
That's cool.
And nobody wants to see somebody fail. I mean, everybody, you know, nobody wants to see somebody fail here. Everybody's, you know, even when you might compete against somebody, but at the end of the day, nobody wants to see you go away.
That's awesome.
You know, I think it's as much a family community as it is anything else, and I don't think it gets credit for that. I think there's a lot of, it gets demonized in the news, you know, a lot, and we're greedy contractors, we're this, we're that, and at the end of the day, you know, we're not. Mm-hmm. Most of them are family businesses, and the ones that aren't still have a family atmosphere. They're not big corporate machines that just grind away on their employees and grind away on the public, and you know, and they have successes and failures like anybody else. And you know,
it was good to have a supportive group like that. I would agree wholeheartedly in my experience that found the AGC of Alaska to be very supportive. And it sounds like you kind of get out of it what you put into it.
It definitely, yeah. And like I said, I mean, you can pay the dues and pay what you pay, but if you don't get involved, I just don't think you're getting. You can get so much more out of it without, you know. You get so much more out of your membership if you do.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. And it's always nice to be reassured that you are not alone and that there are others that share the same experiences and challenges that you do,
yeah.
You know, in the industry. And it's a great forum and a great place for people with such broad common ground to come together and talk about, you know, their shared issues in the construction industry as a whole.
And as an industry, we have a lot of push in the community. Push is a right word, but we're a lot of people.
Impact.
I mean, we represent a lot of people, and we have some horsepower when we need to make something happen and get it done.
Yeah.
So I think that's also another thing. And I've seen numerous times where an individual has come to a different committee or the e-board and had an issue, and it got brought before everybody, and a lot of people, well, we have that issue too. How do we solve it? And issues have been solved time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you like I said, you're not alone, and if you have issues, you can bring them forth, and if we can help solve it, and it's, you know, we'll help solve it.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's a good thing. As far as the role you play as the president of the AGC, what are some things that are on your mind as you move forward into your tenure here?
Well, I think the important things for me, I mean, each president's a year tenure,
mm-hmm.
and you've kind of worked your way up through the e-board, and you know, you have this year, and then next year's past president, you're just there to help. Thank you, Rod.
Yeah, so you get to work with Rod, you're a lucky guy. One of my favorite dudes.
but I think, you know, for me, couple things that I want to see kind of either started or at least a foot headed down the path, and maybe we can do more than that. It just it's a little daunting because it is a heavy commitment, but you still have a day job, you know. So it's, it's how much are you going to really accomplish versus how much you can kind of lay a groundwork for. But I think some of my ideas coming in the door and what I want to see kind of happen over the next couple of years is one agency taking command of their branding. I know that sounds kind of, you know.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like marketing lingo, but.
Sounds appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, our branding sucks. We don't do a very good job of it. You know, I think it could be better. We're too timid about it, in my opinion. We need to be more arrogant about it, and we aren't.
How would you envision that looking in the community?
I think we need to brag a lot, brag more. Maybe, you know, and I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I think we just kind of tell people what we do, but we don't really tell people, here's what happens when we don't do it, or here's, you know, here's why, you know, here's why some of this stuff gets done and why it's important, you know. You know, especially, you know, and part of that branding is making ourselves attractive to the upcoming workforce, you know, and to the potential workforce that is trying to pay off college debt, for that matter, you know.
Sure.
With no, you know, I mean, yeah, a lot of that branding has as much to do with our image in the general public as it does to our current and future workforce.
Sure.
You know, it needs to be an attractive place to come work, and I just don't feel that it is right now. And that's a fault of ours. It's a fault of society, but the fault of ours is not doing a good enough job advertising it and enticing people to come work for us.
And would this look differently for someone brand new to the trades than it would for someone who's got a little bit of experience looking to get more training, or would it be sort of the same approach? Or would it be mostly the same approach across the community?
Well, I guess my first thought is we do just a broad approach. Just improve the general construction industry's image in general. The Build California program that the California agency has got going is a pretty exciting venture. You can look it up on the internet. They've got a couple of videos live. They're still kind of working on what that's going to look like, but it's definitely kind of like, okay, this is what branding looks like versus advertising.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, there's a difference. Yeah. And you know, I mean, you talk to any of the old timers, you know, they call it book face, they call it this, they call it that.
Yeah.
But I mean, social media is here to stay. There's definitely different avenues of it, and we've done a good job, but I think there's a lot of opportunity to do more. And I think that's the future.
Do you think that this is rolls into the workforce development issue that oftentimes comes up in these type of discussions, where we can market the industry or brand the industry in a way that is appealing to, like you said, the future workforce, so the younger folks, presumably, or whomever coming into the trade, and then those that are maybe have a little experience but are still trying to decide on if they want to make it a career or not?
Well, I think so. I think definitely. I mean, right now, I don't even think we're considered for a lot of people.
Sure, you're right. You good know, point.
I think somebody would look at McDonald's before they look at us.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, people or youth or kids in school need to know they got more than just two options, just college or just McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, there is another option, and that is to learn a trade. Yeah.
I would be curious to see the people that do get involved, whether they've either got a family member that does it and encouraged them to come check this job out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be curious to see what, you know, if we took interest surveys, brought that person to the table.
Yeah.
And I will guarantee you, very little of it is just, we want to be in construction.
For sure. Mostly is family, like you said.
Yeah. I think it's word of mouth and family that gets people to the door. So I think there's a lot of people that don't even consider it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to solve all those problems. I've got a couple ideas, and I know what would, like, work on me or on my kids. But, I mean, I got one son that's kind of working part-time for us, but the other one wanted nothing to do with it. And I'm waiting to see what my youngest is willing to do.
Right. Well, you certainly have a unique opportunity as the president of the AGC to set us in a direction, you know, to address this, whether that is involving social media in some capacity or, you know, branding the AGC specifically or the industry at large, you know, within the community. I'm definitely looking forward to working on that with you to the extent, you know, I'm able personally and professionally. This will be a good thing, because a lot of what you're saying is has a big impact on everybody in the construction industry, period. You know, it doesn't matter what trade or what avenue that you work in it. We do need to focus on attracting the workforce of the future, training them, and retaining them, hopefully, for the long term, so that we can have something to count on moving forward when it comes to getting shit done.
Because at the end of the day, these are good jobs. These are really good jobs. They're good careers.
Absolutely.
You could raise a family. You could have retirement. I mean, you could have more than what most people... I mean, it's still the American dream. It's not easy work by any means, but it's certainly honest, hard work, and it's a rewarding work. I mean, you know, you get to walk around and say, I built that, or, you know, my dad graded that road. You know, I mean, it's just, or I graded that road. You know, look, son, look what we built today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to be said for that. Most people don't have that luxury in their jobs, you know.
Yeah.
Whether they're grinding away on spreadsheets or who knows, you know. I mean, it's just, it's a pretty rewarding work in that you've created something that benefits society 9 times out of 10, you know. So,
the instant gratification is super, super nice.
Well, sometimes it's 3 years later, but I mean, eventually we did this. I'm driving on my road. I'm living in the house I built, or I put the roof on this thing, you know? So it's,
right.
I always point that out and say, we did that roof. We did
right.
That roof.
Oh, it's fun to drive there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or with the, you know, your kids or your wife. I built that building. It's just simple. Simplify. I built that building. I painted a few walls, but to the
Not
family.
Many people can say that.
To the kids, you know. So what about folks that are in the trade that are maybe looking to get advance their skills through their knowledge plans, reading, foreman training? You know, what are your thoughts on that type of stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, that's also kind of another thing that I see you missing in our industry a little bit is you know, you have your unions and you have your internal apprenticeship training stuff, but the goals of those is to take a person with zero skills and make them a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't see a whole lot of training or continuing education stuff for a tradesman. Or a craftsman beyond just being a journeyman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I look at our guys and what we need and what we do or create on our own. But you know, I mean, there's foreman training works across all trades.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, it's soft skills. It's you know, how to read plans. It's how to communicate. How to lead a group. You know, that's something that I think everybody could benefit from. As far as I know, it isn't really offered formally or easily without, you know, I mean, my thought would be is, you know, it could be a normal, like once a month or once a quarter class, you know, run through AGC. You know, and even at different levels beyond that, you know, your mid-level journeymen that aren't at a foreman level, you know, but still need to learn how to read plans. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no like formal training for those guys. I mean, if you're an employer and... You know, you're like, all right, I need these guys to be able to read these plans better. I need them to be able to read a plan, set of plans off of an iPad. You know, there's no place you can send them to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to do it internally, which is fine. But I guess if it's offered somewhere, I'd rather spend a couple $100, invest in that guy, and go do the things I do well, which is put roofs on. And, you know, so it's... I think AGC has an opportunity there. We already offer a lot of training, but it's more for certificates and stuff. And I think, you know, kind of brainstorming ideas is more tradesman-related classes like that. I mean, we have some project management, community education stuff, but and AGC National has a lot of that stuff. But I think from a local level standpoint, I'd like to see us do more for the tradesmen. And then also offer some kind of an introductory class for... you know, your fresh out of high school kid that doesn't know any better. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could offer some kind of a day class or a 2-day kind of introduction to construction class, you know, that, you know, we could sponsor it, offer for free, but at least get, you know, get 12 kids or 15 kids in the door that they just, their mom's like, or their mom or dad's like, what are you doing this weekend? Nothing. Well, I got a plan for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know,
get some exposure to the construction.
Yeah, here, you got nothing to do today. Here, you're going to go to this class. And maybe that's wasted effort. But I guess it just, we need to start thinking outside the box. And I look at what I would like, want my kids to go do, or what I could, you know, if it was their stuff, that services I would pay for as an employer and a parent, and stuff that you look at like an aimless person that is looking for something better. You know, I mean, how do you entice that person? How do you get your face in the door for that person? And construction is intimidating to come work for somebody. I mean, I'm sorry, but you've never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And you show up and they hand you a hard hat, a safety vest, and some safety glasses and go out to that construction site and go to work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but those are intimidating. You just can't do that to somebody and expect them to stick around, which is part of, I'm sure, why a lot of us have a pretty high attrition rate for guys that just walk off the street. I know mm-hmm. we do.
Sure.
You know, it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. And you got all these guys that are, I wouldn't call them soft around the edges.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and don't suffer fools very well, because fools mm-hmm. either hurt somebody, or they cost them money, or they just become a headache they don't need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how do you get that person that's never done this before to a level where they can walk on a construction site and not panic? Because I think that happens more often than not. They just work their way through it and just are, you know.
I think you hit on it earlier. The solution is, or part of it probably, is planting the seed early, you know, in these folks' mind that this is something that, you know, they want to do. So they're mm-hmm. maybe it's a little bit less intimidating, and then having some sort of hands-on direct exposure to the trades for sure would be helpful as well. I think those are definitely some exciting opportunities for the AGC to look into that.
Yeah. So, and if anybody's got any ideas, certainly let me know.
Yes.
Always, get involved.
Always look for good ideas. And I mean, it's kind of nice to have this conversation with you, Chris. I mean, as the president, you said at the beginning of this that, you know, you viewed affiliation with the AGC as a business owner. You know, really, you get out of it what you put into it, and you're showing that. You're kind of leading by example by helping to step up as the president on the executive board, working up through the various spots on the executive board, and then now having a vision and a plan that's, you know, real new and unique to move forward is pretty cool. And so thank you for that. Appreciate you doing that. Is there any thoughts you have on the general outlook for the construction industry in a state? It's kind of the million-dollar question. I like to toss it out there just to see what people have to say. I know there's no crystal ball, but what is your feeling of the trajectory of the industry?
I think there's a lot of opportunity for Alaska. I think from a construction standpoint, having a stable industry means that the capital budget stops becoming a political football.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens in June and February.
Right.
We've had a lot of promises, but in the last couple of years, it's kind of been held up. And it affects people's daily lives. I mean, these are real people that get affected. And it just doesn't do the community any good, because then construction projects can potentially cost more because schedules have been pushed. And maybe the data's not there to support that, but intrinsically, that's what happens. I mean, anytime a schedule gets pushed or something gets delayed, it costs more money than if it was planned out and went according to plan. Yeah, I mean, with oil patch growing like it is, them discovering new oil all the time, I think there's a lot of opportunities for the state. I guess we'll see what the oil futures do.
Mm-hmm.
But
hopefully they keep the economy stimulated and have certainly played an integral role in doing so for many years in our state and our associated capital budget that you mentioned. I couldn't agree more. It's not a political football. There's a lot of people that rely on it, no matter what trade you're in as an industry. Construction, you know, needs that. So I think the legislature convenes here in like a week or two. So
yeah, Yeah, so it'll be an exciting next 90 or 120 days. Yes. I guess we'll see.
Exciting.
I mean, along the lines of oil, I mean, Alaska is a resource development state.
Sure.
I mean, that's our bread and butter.
Without
I mean, we
question.
Have tourism, we have fishing, but at the end of the day, you know, what funds the state is oil. But you know, mining's a big economic driver in the state from a job standpoint. Maybe not from a royalty standpoint as much as oil. I mean, oil is a big gorilla in the room, but mining's a big thing, and putting roads into mines is important. You know, if we ever get forestry back in the southeast, I guess we'll see what happens. But that was always a big economic driver for down there. But at the end of the day, you know, Alaska exists from pulling resources out of the ground, whether people like that or not. What you have today is because we pulled oil out of the ground back in the 70s.
For sure.
You know, you wouldn't have, Alaska wouldn't look anything like this today.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
Not even close.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, just go pull $3.5 billion out of the budget and see what happens.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, pull it out and see what happens.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, see what the state's going to look like then. So it's kind of, I think, yeah, I mean, I think there's still a future here. I'm not pessimistic on it, but I think it's always going to be up and down, but it's been up and down since the 70s.
Fair enough, yeah.
So, no, I mean, you just got to learn how to ride the wave.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's just a matter of us collectively coming together now and figuring out a way to keep us moving, you know, to have a sustainable budget for our state, including mm-hmm. a healthy capital budget, and then yep. we can all just move forward and have that we can rely on.
Yeah.
Keep us all going and building stuff, putting roofs on buildings, painting walls and everything.
Exactly.
Everything else.
Building roads.
Yeah, exactly. Infrastructure investment is something our whole country needs, and Alaska is certainly no exception there. We could use a port while we're at it. Since we're having our Christmas wish list of Alaska construction projects, that would be nice. But hey, is there anything you'd like to add here just to kind of wrap up either – from your perspective as a contractor in the industry or president of AGC, anything you want to add?
I think in closing, I think what I would like to say is you know, if you're an AGC member, you know, get involved. Get involved in the committees. Find something you enjoy doing and, you know, volunteer an hour or two a month of your time. I think you'll get rewarded twofold for what you put in.
Perfect. And you might even get dragged in to record a podcast. You just never know. Chris, thank you for your time. It's actually
Thanks,
really
Bronson.
Interesting
yeah, it was
insights.
A pleasure.
Appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.